Well, it's good to be starting a new series. His name shall be called. And today we're focusing in on, as we've seen this morning, our wonderful counselor. This series is based off Isaiah 9, verse 6. You know, there are so many things that parents go through when they learn that they're having a baby. From the moment they step into this roller coaster of emotions, there is excitement, there is joy, there is even fear in some cases. Mum goes through all the physical changes and the discomfort and the pain, while Dad goes to enjoy eating more food sometimes without being fussed about, around and worried over, and caring for his and providing for his family. One of the most difficult and important tasks given to an expecting parent is that of giving a child a name. Every baby, we understand, has to have a name. We never want to saddle them with a name that they cannot live up to or they will never live down. And in my family, we have a few of those names. We talk about them. I've brought up in with some very weird names around me in school, in primary school, in high school. I won't mention them, but they know what I'm talking about. So you don't want to be saddled with a name that is you can never live down, because they're very hard to cope with. But here in Isaiah 6, we've been promised a child, a son, who will do great things, it says. These are the things that it says. He will bring hope to the hopeless. He'll bring light to those living in darkness, bring freedom to the captives, bring victory over his enemies, bring peace to conflict. That is, in some ways, a seemingly impossible task to expect for a baby. That's why God sends this special baby. That's why God sends this special child, born of a virgin, to accomplish that most impossible task. He would be a baby, as it were, helpless and dependent, like all babies are. While he was humanly like us in every way, he was fully man, fully human. He was much more, and we understand that. He was God in flesh, the eternal Son of God, the Bible says. Even this baby needs a name. We know his name would be Jesus, right? We understand that. A remarkable name which speaks of his role as a savior. This baby not only came to be our savior, but a king. And every king, we understand, needs a title. Today, as we unwrap this marvelous gift of a savior that God gave us this first Christmas, we will begin to look at his names and his titles over the next few weeks. Isaiah 9:6 says this: "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." That's a lot of names. That's a lot of titles for one little child. As a matter of fact, some scholars say that there are over 250 different designations or descriptions of Christ scattered through the pages of Scripture. The question that comes to mind is, why so many throughout Scripture? And why so many have packed into one little verse? Considering who this child was and what he would come to do and what he continues to do for believers, one singular name and one singular descriptor would just not accomplish the purpose set forth. In the ancient world, it was common, right? We understand this if you read historical documents. It was common to practice among various rulers to take them for themselves titles and crowns. In Egypt, for example, the rulers would take themselves at least five titles at once. The titles would refer to some sort of god the Egyptians served. The land, the dreams, or the visions they had for themselves, for their regions. At their coronation, they would hear something like, let the great name of, you know, this particular god be known. A mighty bull, one capable of planning, great in wonders, filled with trust, son of Re, to whom life is given. That's the sort of title. Even our king right now, King Charles, who we're under in our Commonwealth, takes the title Charles III by the grace of God, the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and of the other realms of his territories, King, Head of the Commonwealth, Defender of the Faith. That's his full title. We even see the pattern in the Old Testament in 2 Samuel 23:1. The oracle of David, the son of Jesse, the oracle of the man who raised on high the anointed of God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel. Most of these self-proclaimed and self-prescribed titles were far too generous in so many ways for mere mortals to have, for just humans to have. Because of their limited nature and their shortcomings, and these people and names and titles, they just couldn't live up to them. As great as their titles would have been, they compared to this couplet of four names that Jesus was given when he was born. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. These names are important because they describe for us who Jesus is and what he came to do. In Scripture, names were more than just a designation by which we would refer to someone, but were representative of that person's character and of that person's personality. Jacob, whose name means supplanter in the Old Testament, deceiver, symbolized how he was born. Grasping the heel of his brother, always scheming to get ahead. Moses, another example, his name means drawn out of water. Isaac, his name means laughter. Over the next few weeks, I want us to discover the significance of these names and the titles of Jesus that he has given in this verse. Today we're going to begin with Wonderful Counselor. And as we work our way through the twists and turns of life, and as we all see this, need some help in understanding this, we need some guidance and direction and advice. You know, sometimes life is too complicated to make it through on our own. No matter how hard and how well informed we are about certain things, we need help in our life, in certain areas of our life. From the time that we are small, we need guidance. And as we get older, we know too well that we need more and more guidance in our life. Proverbs speaks to this as well. In Proverbs 11:14, it says this, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in abundance of counselors there is safety. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisers they succeed. In 20 verse 18, plans are established by counsel, by wise guidance. We all need good counsel and direction in our lives from time to time, don't we? We understand that as humans. Most of us would be quick to say that in our life we've received good advice sometimes and not so good advice at other times. We've been benefit and on the receiving end of some wise counsel and following that advice, and it's helped our careers and our relationships and our, maybe our finances. We've also paid the price for listening to some bad advice and following it that's hurt our careers maybe hurt our relationships, maybe hurt our finances. To some degree, we can all relate to the two homeless men who are sitting on a park bench, and as they talk to one another, one man says, "I am the man who never listened to or took advice from anyone." The other one said, "I'd like to shake your hand. I'm the man who listened to everybody and tried to follow everyone's advice." Not at all, and all counselors are created equal. We understand that. Adam and Eve, they listened to and believed the wrong voice and the wrong path, and so they plunged humanity into sin. King David, he fails to listen to sound advice and took a census of the people in the Old Testament. He wanted to measure his wealth and the power and strength of his army and his government rather than God. And what was the result? It angered God. And it cost many lives in the process. Rehoboam, David's grandson, refused to listen to the sound advice of wise old counselors. And he listened to poor advice and lost half of his kingdom. Good counsel is imperative and needed. We understand that. With so many lives and families and communities and cities and nations running amok right now in our society, in our nations, it's obvious that we need someone to delve deeper into our lives, to help us with the troubles that plague us, the things that deceive us. We don't need surface level advice or current thought or popular ideas. As one preacher said, those things do nothing more than help organize our hang-ups and create problems for ourselves. With the number of psychologists and psychiatrists and counselors on the rise, you would assume that we as a nation and as a people would be more emotionally, you know, relationally and spiritually healthy in a society than previous years. But we're not. We're worse. I believe people do struggle with real emotional problems that have physical and chemical origins. Those problems manifest themselves through emotions like some forms of depression. There are genuine emotional and mental issues that must be partially dealt with in that way. I'm firmly convinced that many of our struggles stem, though, from spiritual issues. I believe that all counsel should be biblical first in its profession. Many people don't want to hear what the Bible has to say because it's much harder to hear. It points to our sin. It doesn't always want to give us an easy way out. It forces us to look at ourselves and to consider and to think about our circumstances and not just our injustices that other people have maybe perpetrated on us. The transformation and repair of the soul requires a power beyond human counsel and beyond our own understanding. There is a wisdom and counsel that exceeds any that humans can give. It is a wisdom that comes from God only. He has sent his Son to be our great counselor and to bring us wisdom into a dark world. That verse said that Jesus Christ is our wonderful counselor. Our wonderful counselor. He's not just simply a nice, adequate, good, or even great counselor. He is a wonderful counselor. It means extraordinary. It points to a sense of the miraculous, the supernatural. It's not a pointless or trivial word that God uses in this verse. It is intended to put us in a state of wonder and awe. In 1 Corinthians 1:24, it says, Christ, who is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Jesus is our wonderful counselor. But what is it that a counselor does? What is their role? We have all kinds of counselors in our world. We have all kinds of counselors for internal and emotional struggles, our health, counselors for our debt, for our diets, our workouts, our finances, our careers, our legal matters. The term counselor depends on how it is used and in the context it's used in. They can be slight variations in the meaning. Maybe one who advises and guides, one who plans, one who gives direction and help us plot a course to achieve our objectives in life, who gives correction if we're off course as a counselor. Maybe one who comforts and consoles when we're hurting. Maybe one who provides defense and protection when needed. We need Jesus to be our counselor and provide us help and direction because human nature isn't good. We don't have the answers inside of us naturally. What better person to lead us and direct us and show us how to carry our lives more than Jesus? Jesus is the part of the great council of Godhead that brought this world into existence. Colossians 1:15 and 17 says this, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus was part of the great council that decided the plan of redemption for all mankind. In Ephesians 1, 3 and 8, it says this, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the great purposes of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight. The one who possesses wisdom and knowledge to put this massive and infinite complex universe together and who knows and understands the tiniest detail of you. Works as our wonderful counselor. The one who leads us. Who defends and comforts us and helps us and puts things in place and carry out this marvelous salvation for us is our wonderful counselor. Jesus Christ is my heavenly counselor. And as my counselor, he knows me inside and out. He knows things about me that no one else knows. Amazingly, he still loves me anyway. When you go to your counselor or your doctor for the first time they see you, what do? They go through a detailed family history and a long delving into your past and into your things that they think about you. They have to fill out all these forms and all these sheets. have to ask you all these questions to get to understand what's wrong with you. They probe and prod around with questions, trying to pinpoint the problem of the source, maybe, of the issue. Our Heavenly Counselor knows us inside and out. He understands our needs and problems without telling him anything. He can get to the heart of the matter like no one else can. In Hebrews 4:12, it says this, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Matthew 6:8, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Because he knows us so deeply and intimately, he sees us more clearly than any earthly counselor could ever see us. He is more capable of finding and addressing our issues and our needs deep to our soul. And as our counselor, his counsel is always perfect. He always has the answers, but not just the answers, he has the right answers. There are people who can go to and they might say something to you and you might say something to them and they might give you a sort of a bit of a solution or a bit of an answer to your issues and problems. They might have some answers at hand, but they're not necessarily the right ones. We don't just need answers to life, we need the right answers to life. And God always has the right answers. He knows our problems with intricacy and offers real life transformational solutions to them. He doesn't just give you curt answers, a learned thing. He understands you intimately. His knowledge is perfect. His wisdom is infinite, and he can truly be trusted fully with you and with your problems. He never has to actually research a problem, right? He never has to think about it. If you come to him with a problem, you never have to hear him say, "Well, you know what, that has me stumped. I'm going to have to go away and research that a bit, and I'll get back to you next week about that one." He doesn't have to analyze things and come back with a solution. Spurgeon said this, "His deliberations are as flashes of lightning, wise as if he had been considering them eternally. While his thoughts are as swift as lightning, they are perfect." This is our counselor that you go to. He never has to go to seminars or complete continuing education classes to keep his licenses and credentials up to date. He doesn't need to learn new techniques or adjust his strategies to fit changing times because his answers are timeless. And the principles he gives us in order for us to live our lives will never change. They are true in every age and for every person. God knows how marriages is supposed to work. He designs it. God knows the best way to raise a family. He created the family. God knows the best way to deal with emotions and bring us to a place where it's not our master, but our servant, because he gives our emotions to us. God knows the best way to deal with addictions. He is the one who sets us free and the only addiction we need. God knows how to deal with sin and the fear and guilt it brings because that is why Jesus came. He is our wonderful counselor. And as our wonderful counselor, he is always available. You don't have to make an appointment. You never have to deal with a secretary or an answering machine. His door is always open and he's never too busy for you. Psalm 121 and 3 says this, "He who keeps you will not slumber. He is with us always and in every situation. He has promised to never leave us or forsake us." As our wonderful counselor, he not only shows us how to handle our burdens, but invites us to give them to him. He wants your burdens. He never fails to bring good out of our messes. Matthew 11, 28, listen to this. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls." Romans 8, 28 and 9. "And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would have the firstborn among the brethren." You know, he can bring peace to our hearts. Even when the storm continues to swirl around us, as someone well said, he has the power to calm the storm. He also has the power to calm his child in the midst of the storm. As our counselor, it is easy for us to get an appointment with him. He doesn't discriminate. The door is open to anyone and everyone, regardless of their race, their history, their economic status, their education, or their nationality. He will take anyone who is open and honest about their sin and their need. He will take all who come, but they have to come through him. John 14:6 says, Jesus says this, "To him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And Acts 4:12 says that there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given to men that which they must be saved. And Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And finally, as our counsellor, you know what? The fee has already been paid in full, right? We understand that as Christians, and as we sit here this morning, as we take the bread and wine, we're so thankful that our fee has already been paid by him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much and give you the praise and glory of everything that you've done. And we just thank you so much that you are a wise and wonderful counselor, Lord. And you've given us so much hope in this dark world at this time in Christmas, as we come into this Christmas season, Lord. We just want to thank you and praise you for all the good things that you give us. And we just pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.